going? Happy Friday to you, Bay Wagner here, Tutelage Radio Rocks. That's right, TDR Rocks. We're here. It's Friday. It's, well, if you're on the East Coast, it's noontime. If you're on the West Coast, it's 9 a.m. But either way, you're totally driven. I'm here, you're here, and we're going to do it right now with the band Saving Vice. That's right. I got to talk to their founding member, bass player, Mr. Robbie Litchfield, the other day. And we got to find out all about the band, behind the scenes of the band, the music of the band, as well as the merchandise of the band, the creative mind of the band, and everything else, everything that goes on with the band Saving Vice. And this is a band where, you know, from time to time, it's not always where, you know, the PR people are reaching out to me to get a band on the show. For this instance, it was the fans. The fans came to me and said, yo, get Saving Vice on Totally Driven Radio. And one of their big fans, Katie, she was one of the driving forces, and here it is. We made it happen. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Here's Robbie Litchfield of Saving Vice.
And there he is, the one and only Robbie Litchfield.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely, man. So you ready? Let's do this. Let's have some fun.
Okay. Yeah, I'm totally ready, man.
Okay. So I'm going to hammer you with the hardest question of all. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah. What's up?
So going through, like, doing my investigation, researching, seeing what I can find out, find some kind of dirt on you guys, a scoop, some info, and I come across something, and I just absolutely loved it, and I got to know who the true mastermind of the band is to put this together, and people need to go onto their website, into their merch store, and they have the coolest selection of shirts, throwbacks to us people from the 80s and 90s, Saved by the Vice and Saving Vice a la Miami Vice style shirts. And I just got the biggest kick out of them.
That's, yeah. It started out as a meme. One of our fans sent us the Miami Vice logo and crossed out Miami and put Saving. They said this is, you know, and he was just kind of making fun of the name or whatever. And, it kind of just got brought up in our band chat. And, I do all of our merch designs. I design all of our merch personally. Yeah. And so I went, you know, to my laboratory, a.k.a. Photoshop, and I made that design and put it back into the band chat, you know, slapped it on a shirt, and everybody loved it. And that just kept rolling with other ideas, and we got Saved by the Vice, and then we got, you know, the PlayStation logo and kind of customized that for ourselves. So that's how that came about.
That's freaking brilliant. It really is. I love it.
Yeah, and our fans love it too. It's just, you know, we're a very serious band, but we like to have fun sometimes, you know?
Yeah, you have to. You have to. And I think, like, stuff like that, not only shows, like, yeah, that there's the fun side of the band, but, like, you know, a lot of people are doing, like, those, like, throwback style logos or things like that for merch and stuff like that, and I get the biggest kick out of them, and I just thought that was, like, the best.
it's definitely interesting for sure.
So now you're the founding member of the band Saving Vice, and something else before we even really get into the band that I saw too, like, going through your Facebook page and all, it was just recently, like, somebody posted a picture where they got a tattoo, and it was inspired by one of your songs. And that's kind of, like, really got to throw you for a loop. That's beyond, like, Saving Vice, Miami Vice ripoff shirts now.
Right. Yeah. No, it's, this is the second time we've had a fan of ours get, a tattoo with our lyrics in it. And that's really cool. And I'm actually personally getting a tattoo soon with some of our lyrics as well, but from a fan of our music, that's kind of like a surreal moment, you know, as a musician, when, you know, you have, when your music is impacting someone's life enough where they, you know, want to tattoo that on their body permanently, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's definitely a really cool experience to as a musician to have that.
Do you kind of say like you just said you're going to get some of the band lyrics tattooed now? Do you kind of feel like, oh crap, like other people were doing this before us? Like, I think I need to step up to the plate now.
it's always been in the cards for me. I've always wanted to incorporate tattoos about my music and stuff like that. I don't see, you know, any issue with that. Definitely seeing other people starting to get tattoos of our lyrics kind of like, I guess, kind of kicked me into gear. You know what I mean? So
sure.
I gotta catch up. So.
So like I said, like you're the founding member of the band, and initially it was you and your one guitarist Zach and one of your vocalists Chase.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. Was the plan always to go with two vocalists?
That's a really interesting question. We originally were going to have Zach, our guitarist, sing, and Chase was just going to do entirely screaming because Chase can't, he can't sing. So that was kind of what we were rolling with. And then I'm not really sure how it kind of evolved, but Chase kind of invited a friend of his to the studio one day. And he was an incredible singer or whatever. So we kind of went with that. And then we kind of fell into the whole two vocalist mold. And over time we let go of that singer and we brought in Tyler, who, is our vocalist now. And he primarily does cleans. So I feel like we've always written our music around two vocalists just because that's how it always has been from the beginning. But yeah, that's basically it's a decision we made very early on in the band, even before we started releasing music. So
now, is this the first time you've ever been in a band with two vocalists? I mean, like, is it different? Like, I would be kind of, I mean, I in my days of playing in a band, it was always, you know, naturally one vocalist. So with two vocalists, I'd be kind of like weirded out somewhat. Take some getting used to.
Yeah, it definitely was weird getting used to. I've been in a couple. Garage band style, like pop punk cover bands and stuff like that in college. But Saving Vices was my first real band, like my first band that took it seriously and, you know, treat it as a business. And the whole two vocalist thing, I'd say at first was a little hard, especially live. You know, when you're starting out as a musician, you get all these tiny stages that you have to, you know, you have to like make work. And when you have five people on stage and then a drummer, you know what I mean? It gets really, really cramped really quickly.
Sure.
So I'd say that honestly is the hardest part of having a two vocalist band. Otherwise, I think Chase and Tyler, the dynamic we have, all of our songs are written so that both members are always active on stage, if that makes sense. Like they're always doing backups for each other, or, you know, it's a very, like a lot of two vocalist bands don't necessarily need one or the other vocalist, but our band is very, it's set up in a way where you need both vocalists, and live, they just play off each other very well. They have great chemistry live. So it works out pretty well for us.
Excuse me. So that was, like one thing too, like I instantly thought of like, cause I promoted some shows down here in the Philadelphia area. And one of the things that I'm always like, weird out about is size of the stage, and like certain bands I know have, you know, just the what they can do on stage with a bigger stage, putting on a better stage show, shall we say. So it always weirds me out to think like, is there gonna be enough room on stage? And then I like a band where I'm like, all right, holy crap, like there's now six guys on stage, it's even tighter. So does that come into a problem at times?
Oh, for sure. And especially as, you know, a band that's just starting out, we're kind of up and coming. We're playing a lot of smaller, you know, 200 cap rooms where it's like the stage is just, you know, it's the drum set's taken up half the stage as it is. And it's
right.
Like the rest of us, trust me, we're very energetic individuals. We love jumping around and doing the spins, and we always try to outdo each other with showing off on stage. Like we love that. We think energy is so important live.
Absolutely.
And it's very difficult to play, you know, a carpet, you know what I mean? Essentially it's just like, everyone's shoulder to shoulder and someone's in, you know, stepping on toes and like, you know what I mean? And, trust me, we've had some serious, you know, malfunctions on stage with like, you know, spinning and hitting other people and stuff like that. I think we've kind of crafted it at this point. We've just played so many shows on these small stages that we've kind of like maneuvered our way. We kind of have our own, it's kind of like a sports team. You know what I mean? Like we all kind of have our own, know our own quirks and stuff like that. So we kind of figured it out. I think a really funny story, and this is kind of ironic, but the biggest stage we've ever played was iMatter Festival, which is in Horseheads, New York, and we played it this summer. The biggest stage we've ever played on, it was massive. Like, and the sound system was fantastic. We played with August Burns Red and Under Oath. And nice. That show, we were missing Zach, our rhythm guitarist. And when – so we didn't even have – like, we had four members on stage. It was just, you know, me, Cody, Tyler, and Chase, and then, you know, obviously Sam on drums. That was the most space I've ever had in my entire life. Like, we finally had a stage to accommodate a six-member band, and we were missing a member. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I wish it was just, like, that was the one show we could have played a small stage and been comfortable. You know what I mean? So, it was just, it was pretty funny.
No, you know, funny question. I even was going to ask you about that. Like, what is the iMatter Festival? Like, I have a feeling like that's something, there's something like a message behind that.
Yeah, so iMatter Festival, I'm honestly not too sure about the whole, you know, like the mission statement of the festival or anything like that. It's an annual festival that takes place in Horseheads, New York. And I want to say it's a Christian thing. I'm okay. Not totally positive on that, but the whole point of it is kind of like just to, it's like a mental health awareness type festival, you know, and it's a free festival. Okay. Everyone's welcome to come. And every year they get some big bands to headline. Like this year, like I said, it was August Burns Red and Under Oath were the headliners. And we were, you know, fortunate enough to get on that festival. But it's a very loving, you know, it's kind of like very comparable to like self-help festival is another one I would compare it to. Okay. It's just got that kind of vibe of like, you know, suicide prevention and stuff like that, which is very important to our band. So, you know, we were, you know, very happy to be a part of that.
Cool. Very cool. And I saw you guys were also too got to play one of the Warp Show dates, the one up in Mansfield, Massachusetts.
Correct, yep.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, Warp Tour is a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure every kid growing up in the scene fantasizes about playing Warp Tour one day. And, you know, when Zach and I kind of started Saving Vice way back when or whatever, a few years ago, you know, he looked at me one day and said, 2018, man, we're going to play Warp Tour. And, you know, obviously I'm just like, yeah, like, you know, like that'd be awesome. But I was like, let's be realistic, dude. That's not going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? We're like, you know, in someone's bedroom recording songs right now. It's not going to happen. We're not playing Warped Tour. And sure enough, Kevin Lyman saw our music video for Exhale and loved it. And we got invited to play Warped Tour in Mansfield, which is our, you know, the local stop of the tour for us. On the Full Sail University stage. And I got to be honest with you, man, like that was probably one of the best days of my life. So it was literally a dream come true.
That's friggin' awesome. Good for you. Now, actually, too, it's kind of weird. Like I saw a video floating around, you know, world of Facebook. Actually, I've seen it recently a couple of times over the last few weeks. And then I just saw the video on your YouTube channel, too. And it's of this girl in a wheelchair at the Warped mm-hmm. Tour that starts this like circle pit. Was that like during your set?
That was during our set. That was the last song of our set. We were playing our song Black Ice, which we just released a music video for recently. And I got to be honest with you, man. I think you're kind of asking the wrong guy about this, but I kind of black out when I play. I don't remember a whole lot of what was going on. But no, our videographer at the time, we had a bunch of people working cameras for us. We eventually made a music video out of the Warped Tour set for our song Run to You. So okay. We had a bunch of people on cameras, and one of them just saw the opportunity. This girl was in the pit, during one of our songs during Black Ice, and he got it on footage, and it was just such wholesome content that we felt, you know, like we got to post this and stuff like that. And like, you know, obviously it's the last year of Warped Tour, and there's all that, you know, that nostalgic aspect to it. So we posted that, and it just blew up completely. I thought it would get some traction. I never expected that video to get as many views as it did. I think it's over, you know, 1.4 million views right now on Facebook, and it's just like, it just completely went viral. And it completely gave our band a huge boost with, you know, new followers and new fans and stuff like that. So it was really good exposure. But I think, like you were saying, it really kind of like encompassed the spirit of Warped Tour. You know what I mean? Being an inclusive community and like incorporating all types of people in our music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like when I didn't even realize it was you guys. Until I saw earlier when I was going through research and I saw the video on your YouTube channel. But like, like I said, I saw it through social media on Facebook getting shared out, and I remember watching it that first time I watched it a few weeks back, and I was just like, "This is just beyond friggin' awesome!" Like I had such a good feeling about, you know, the whole situation. I was so happy for that person and just the whole scene. I was like, "This is just fucking awesome!" And then when I saw it was you guys, I'm like, "This is even fucking better now." Like that's just like amazing, and that's what I wanted to like. Definitely like wanted to ask you was like just that, like how much did that kick back to you guys where people started checking you out and you started getting some, you know, streams or, you know, selling some stuff.
Right. Yeah, no, there was definitely a big correlation with that video going viral and then our views going up as well. You know, I think our likes on Facebook, for instance, doubled within like 2 weeks. Like it was absolutely nuts. It was mayhem. And all these people are messaging us like, "Oh, I love your music" and stuff like that. It was like, it was just really good exposure for our music, but it also like kind of encompassed kind of like what we're about as a band. We're a very inclusive band. We're very loving, and we like to highlight a lot of issues that a lot of people don't like to talk about. And I think that's what makes us stand out in the scene. And that video just kind of like further, prove that point. We definitely saw a lot of new buzz from that, from that video. So it was definitely a cool experience for sure. So
that's so freaking awesome. Yeah. Cause actually, I mean, one of your fans came to me about getting you guys on the show, and that's how this whole thing came about. Like, you know, so I mean, the word is, the word is spreading.
Yeah, no, the word is definitely spreading. It's really cool to hear, like, you know, I went back to my hometown recently and, you know, went out and got dinner or whatever with a friend, and like the waitress comes up to me. She's like, "Oh my God, are you Robbie from Saving Vi-?" Like, it's just crazy. Like I've become like, you know, well known in my neck of the woods and stuff like that. And it's really cool to see that people know what we're doing and like they're enjoying our music. You know what I mean? Like, that's just such a cool feeling. No, you're making an impact.
Now, something you said earlier, I wanted to touch on too. You said like this is your first real band that you started to look at it and treat it as a business. Yeah, how? I mean, and that just people realize that too. Like, you know, it's not just about, "Oh, I'm going to start a band and be a rock star and make great music and this and that." That it truly is a business. And do you think that has played a big part because you're looking at it differently now, more as a business to the success the band is experiencing?
Oh, absolutely. I got to be honest, sometimes the business aspect can be a little overwhelming. And I think it's really important to just be kids again and just go on stage and have fun and like throw down, you know what I mean? Just throw down, right, and have fun and all of that. I think that's very important in the band. But at the same time, like looking at it as a business and making decisions for the betterment of the band and the business as a whole, like eventually, you know, like we need to make money if we want to keep doing this full time. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like we got to fund our fun. You know what I mean? So it's like you have to look at it as a business if you want to take if you want to be in a successful band, you have to look at it as a business. So it's like I said, it's kind of that balance, you know what I mean? So it's looking at it as we've always looked at Saving Vice as a business, and like we you know, have made a lot of decisions along the way that were tough decisions, but we knew that it was for, you know, that it was going to benefit us later down the road. And it's all paid off. It's all paid off. So, and it's continuing to work. So it's just keeping that balance between treating things seriously, but also making that retro merch line, you were just pointing out, throwing down on stage, having fun, having some drinks, you know what I mean? Goofing off.
Right.
Like, you need to have that too. So it's just keeping that balance.
Absolutely. Now, also too, like I was reading, it was in the band bio about like basically like a year ago, you guys went under like a rebrand. Like what was the rebrand? Was it like the member change or?
So the rebrand, so we had an old EP called Lost Words. It was our first released music we've ever, you know, we ever had a Saving Vice. And we basically traveled all around New England, which is where we're from, in 2017. So last year we kind of just made our name off of that EP. And then we kind of came under the realization last summer, you know, like these songs are good. They're well written, but you know, the recording sucks. It's not good enough. We can do better. So we scrapped the EP completely. And that was back to the whole business thing. That was one of the toughest decisions I think we've ever had to make as a band. It's like, you know, those are like, you know, your songs are like your kids, you know what I mean? Like you have a weird attachment to them. You can't really explain to other people, but you know, having to throw away that whole EP was really tough. But we knew we could do better, and we did. And we wrote Colder Than Dark last fall, completely rebranded, changed our logo, took new, you know, promotional pictures and stuff like that. Like we shot a music video for a new single and stuff like that. And we completely that's what I meant by the rebrand. Our lineup
okay.
was the same at the time, but it was, new music, new face kind of thing, like just a new look. That's all that it really was. The only song we kept off of Lost Words and brought back was actually our fan favorite song, Hell Here. That was originally on Lost Words under a different name, but we reworked it and brought it back on the EP. So
wow.
That was the only song that we kept. But yeah, the rebrand was deleting the EP from digital existence. Like there's like 100 copies floating around. I'm sure that will pop up someday, but yeah, that's basically what that was all about.
That's pretty ballsy though. I mean, you figure you guys got something out there, and you guys decided to kind of like do away with it. You know what I mean? It takes balls.
Yeah. It took a lot of balls, man, and, like, it was not an easy decision. I was personally against doing it for a very long time, and then we talked to some trusted individuals, some mentors of ours, and, like, you know, we just I realized, like, I'm the primary, you know, songwriter of the band, and a lot of these songs were my own, and even I kind of came to wake up one morning and just say, like, you know what, like, I can do better. I wrote these songs when I was 19. I barely knew how to play guitar. You know what I mean? I just have a really good ear for music. You know, I've grown so much as a songwriter. I can do better than this. And I want our first impression on the world to be an EP, specifically an EP of well-written songs. And that's what we did.
So that
it sucked. And in short term, it's tough. But long term, we knew it was the best decision.
Right. And that, I mean, that had to personally push you big time to, you know, just do better overall.
Exactly. And that's kind of how I feel. So we're basically wrapping up our new record right now. And I'm pushing my songwriting abilities to the absolute limit. And I know that, you know, I've already sent them to our producer. It's the same guy that did our EP.
Okay.
And he even said like, wow, this is like a way, like it still has the Saving Vice sound, but it's more mature, you know, and He's really excited to start working on him. And I just know that this new record is going to make waves next year. And I'm really proud with what we've been coming up with these past few months.
That's awesome. So you guys released, actually beginning of the year, you guys released just a single called Exhale. And was that kind of like, you know, this is under the rebrand now, this is the new single, let's throw this out there, let's kind of dip our toes in the water and see what happens from here?
Yeah, so Exhale has a really interesting story behind it. Exhale was one of the songs I wrote when I was writing the EP. I wrote a bunch of different songs, and we basically, like, picked which ones we wanted. And it was really funny because my singer, Tyler, was like, oh, I want the poppy song. I want that song that's, like, really radio. And I literally, like, woke up one morning and, you know, kind of with a little bit of spite, wrote this song, Exhale, you know, just in the morning. And within a couple hours, I had the song. And I just kind of like sent it to the band kind of half-heartedly, like, yeah, whatever, here's this song that you wanted. And everyone in the band's like, dude, this is the single, this is so good. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's like my least favorite song I've ever written. And everyone loved it, said it was the single. So I was like, all right, I guess we're doing that. So we recorded the single with Shane Frisbee. He's the same person that works with bands like The Ghost Inside, Falling in Reverse, to just name a few. And, you know, we worked with him and we had a really good experience with it. But then we ended up switching producers for the EP. And that's why we felt like Exhale was its own standalone single. We didn't want to, you know what I mean? Like, the mixing was a lot different between the EP and Exhale. So we wanted to make it its own standalone single with a music video. And you're right. That was the new face of the rebrand. That was like the defining moment for Saving Vice.
That's awesome. Now, how about like something I noticed too, like so the EP out there, it came out earlier this year back in May, Colder Than Dark, but it seems like you guys, like even with that single as well, you are doing basically a video for every song, which I freaking love. I love that bands are doing this. And you know, a lot, it's scary because a lot of the bigger bands kind of like almost shy away at videos. And I'm seeing a lot of the more indie, younger bands like you guys are utilizing it. And I think that just speaks volumes.
Yeah. As far as the videos go, I kind of had this realization recently as well, especially when Black Ice dropped. I'm like, guys, we have 4 music videos for all 6 songs we have. Like, that's nuts. That proportion is, like, crazy. And I was like, and they're all quality music videos. None of them are bad. They're all very well done. Professionally shot and edited. And I think it was more of just, we had videographers that were really hyped to work with us and excited to work with us and offered us certain things that we couldn't really pass up. And there was a lot of that to it, but also you have to realize that, you know, you got to look at the generation, the people, your demographic, the people that you're working with, that are your fans. Everyone knows visual sell. You know what I mean? It's songs
sure.
themselves don't really stand up as well anymore. And we know that visuals are a really good way to market your songs. So there was that as well. But as far as like how many music videos we've done, that's been more, I guess, incidental than anything. It wasn't like some master plan or whatever. But yeah, we have 4 music videos for 6 songs, which is pretty crazy.
So are you going to go for the full 100% and just do a video for every song? Please say yes.
Well, we wanted to do one for Euthanasia. We can't because Rory Rodriguez of Dayseeker is on that song. And, you know, flying him out from L.A. probably isn't a very cheap thing alone. So not to mention getting his label to sign off on something like that.
Right.
It would be a little difficult. So that's the only reason we held off on Euthanasia. And then Once More, I guess that's still on the table. But that, I guess that would be kind of a funny thing to do, to have a song or a video for each song.
Absolutely. You know, here's a wild one for you. We just had on our show 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you're a fan of the Dukes of Hazzard, but Bo Duke. And he just released 5 CDs, 52 songs
basically at one shot. He kind of put them out one single a week, but 52 freaking songs. And his plan is to do a video for every song.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So six isn't that, you're almost there. You're almost home.
Yeah. So 52 songs. That's something else. He must.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. He must have a whole team of videographers then or something. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, he's got his own like 50-something acre, production studio for movies mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a lot easier for him to pull it off.
Right. That always helps.
So, but something else you guys do, and I love too, going back to the YouTube and flipping over to Spotify as well. On YouTube, you did a individual 10 questions with each band member to kind of like get to know the band. And then on Spotify, you each have your own individual playlist of I guess like your favorite songs and all, another way to get to know the band, which I think is both, again, great business and marketing tools.
Yeah, I stole both of those ideas from other bands, I thought. I was the one that spearheaded the 10 questions of Saving Vice. That was my idea. We were at our hotel while we were shooting, or excuse me, while we were recording Colder Than Dark, the EP. So while we were at the hotel, we obviously had a lot of downtime. I had my nice camera. I know a little bit of video editing, and I was like, guys, like, let's just shoot these videos. Like, we have nothing else going on right now. You know what I mean? It's fun, lighthearted, right. And our fans loved it. Our fans absolutely. We kind of need to update them since it was like a year ago at this point. But no, that was just an idea I've seen other, music production companies kind of do, like Loudwire and Impericon and stuff like that. So I've seen YouTube videos like that before, and I kind of was like, let's just do this for Saving Vice. And that way our fans will get to know us. As far as the Spotify playlist go, yeah, I saw a friend of ours, a band that's friends with us. They had something similar for their music as well. So that was also kind of another idea I kind of saw and ran with. So that was pretty cool though. Yeah.
Which that was too. You guys get added to a Loudwire playlist, the song for Black Ice.
Yeah, no, yeah, we got added to the Loudwire Weekly Wire, I think is what it was called, Spotify playlist, which is cool. Our publicist has been working night and day to get us those kind of opportunities, and, we truly appreciate that. So that was a really cool, like, they're such a big, music magazine company. So it was really cool to see us in Loudwire.
That's awesome. Good for you. Cool. So 2018 is almost over, and you already said you guys are working on the new music and also this one's going to be a full length now that you're working on?
Correct. It's going to be a full length.
And what do you think? Middle next year maybe or earlier? Or?
This one's looking a little more ambiguous than our EP just because, obviously there's a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that we gotta take care of, like, shopping out and stuff like that, and like, getting press for it all lined up and stuff like that. But I will say that I can confirm that we have booked studio time for January. So our album will be recorded by February, in theory. And as far as when we release it, I mean, hopefully we're going to be doing it sometime mid 2019. It's really up in the air at this point. There's so many different, things that can happen.
See, now this is where the whole business side of things come into play.
Right. Exactly.
So how about, tour plans, any tour plans to go out and do that for the, before the release or after release or?
Yeah, we've talked about it as a band. We've had a couple band conversations about tour and stuff like that. And I think it's something that our fans are very, like, on edge about because we have fans all over the country, in the world even, which is really cool. but all over the country that are like, when are you coming on tour? Like, we've never toured before, which is crazy. We've never, not once, been in a van traveling around, even like the East Coast. So it's a completely different experience for us. And we want to make sure that when we do plan a tour, that it's, you know, budgeted correctly. And there's obviously a lot of things that go into it. As far as when we will do it, we kind of discussed doing it, you know, to about the same time that we drop the album, so that, you know, the second our new record drops, we're on the road promoting it. You know what I mean? Just to maximize all that exposure. So whenever we decide to release the new record is probably when you can expect a Saving Grace tour, is my best guess.
Nice. And how about, do you guys have a show lined up for in like a couple weeks or something, did I say, or?
Yep. So we have, two shows coming up. One is a week from today. We're playing with like Moths to Flames in Ocean Gate, Alaska. And that's at the Worcester Palladium in Worcester, Massachusetts. So that'll be really cool. And then we're playing with a band called Currents. They're kind of an up-and-coming metalcore band from Connecticut. We're playing with them in Manchester, New Hampshire, the following Friday, December 14th. So those are our last two shows of 2018. We got some offers for 2019, but that we haven't totally confirmed yet. So those are the two shows that we will absolutely be playing next. So, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Cool. Well, Robbie, this is great talking to you, man. Where should we send everybody to find out more about the band, music, cool shirts?
Well, definitely follow us on our social media. That's honestly probably the biggest thing you can do to support our band. We are very, very good about being up to date with all of our posts and stuff like that. And so I would say follow us on everything you can: YouTube, Spotify, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. We're on it and we're very active. So that would be the biggest help for Saving Grace.
Very cool. Now, it wasn't that painful, was it, Robbie? We pulled it off.
We did. We did pull it off.
I credit it all to those t-shirts.
Right. Yeah. We'll have to send you one, all right?
Cool. Dude, thanks, man. This is great talking to you. Congratulations on all your success, man. You guys are kicking ass. And hopefully you guys get down to Philly at some point.
Thank you, man. That means a lot to me. And thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we'll talk soon, man.
All right. Sounds good.
back to Your Radio Rocks. Bay Ragney here and Saving Vice there. That's right, Saving Vice, and that was their latest single and video. It's called Black Ice, and that comes off their EP Colder Than Dark, and it is available, you know, everywhere. All the digital outlets, it's available. You can go to their website to find out more information, savingvice.com. It's on Spotify. It's everywhere. Just go to savingvice.com. Go to their socials, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff, their YouTube channel. It's freaking everywhere. And make sure you check out their merchandise and get yourself a Saving Vice, Miami Vice style t-shirt. Or there are a few other cool ones, like Saved by the Vice or their PlayStation one. It's check it out. Trust me. SavingVice.com. Thanks to Robbie for doing it, for hanging out, talking, teaching us about Saving Vice. And thanks to the fans for bringing them to our attention. And thanks to you for tuning in. Again, my name is Bay Ragney. This is Total Driven Radio. Make sure you check us out on all the socials, Total Driven Radio, Total Driven Entertainment, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Like us, love us, follow us. We're also available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, and more. Love us, follow us, get totally driven. Do it. Until the next time, stay driven, everybody. See you.